You're a wizard, Harry.
Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for the Prisoner of Azkaban with
Sarah Tompkins,
Vijaya Shrestha,
and I'm Michael DeMauro. This week we discuss Chapter 12, The Patronus. We go into what our own Patronus would be, and the battle for the Quidditch Cup continues. Welcome back to the Quidditch Cup.
Yeah.
We are not in the home stretch. We have a long way to go. It is week 12, and we are battling for points. It is anyone's game at this point. That's what I say. Who's with me? Anyone? No one's responding. No one's even looking at me.
We'll see.
What do you want me to say, Michael? What do you want me to say to this? I don't know.
I just want everyone to be happy. Stop yelling at me.
Oh, stop.
This week is Sarah.
What? Okay.
Sarah, it is your week.
Okay, I'm ready.
Bring it.
Yep. Who becomes temporary guardian of the Gryffindor common room when the fat lady is attacked?
Bah!
Bajaj.
Bah!
Sir Cadogan.
That is true.
Yeah.
That's correct. Although, true story, and I'm sure that I will or have or some at some point will bring up if I haven't already, I thought that it was pronounced Cadogan. Or no, Cadogan.
Cadogan?
I always said Cadogan. Yeah. Like
I probably Cardigan? Would have said Cadogan.
That was, like, reading it, I always said Cadogan, like cardigan.
Oh, I think I pronounced it Cadogan because I listened to the audiobooks.
See, I had never, I read the books many, many times before I listened to the audiobooks, and so, like, now listening to the audiobooks, they say Voldemort. And they also say Cadogan. They say so many things that I do not say. But
fun fact, Michael literally just found out, so today is November 15th, and Michael found out maybe a week ago that Voldemort was pronounced Voldemort and not Voldemort.
True story.
But here's the thing.
I'm going to side with Michael on this because I have listened to all of the podcast. I listened to all the audiobooks and they say Voldemort, and I just thought it was like, him being fancy
being
and
fancy.
British? Yeah, no, seriously. I was like, it's still Voldemort, whatever.
I mean, yeah. We could talk about
that.
We should have a whole segment on Voldemort versus Voldemort.
I would be into that, but apparently Vijaya thinks it's way old news.
I don't think it's old news.
No. I meant like we can talk about this as in like how J.K. Rowling chose to make his name all French instead of British like he is. Because
right.
If it was British, then it would be Voldemort. Why would he change his name from Tom Marvel Riddle to I am Lord Voldemort? That's another notch against stupid Voldemort. He thinks he's fancy as heck. Get out of here.
He thinks
right,
he's
Michael,
the king of the sorry people. Okay.
I'm gonna read my question. Now, please wait to ring in.
Shit.
I'm waiting. I'm actually
trying to figure out. Maybe I'll read a different one because I feel like I need to rephrase this. Otherwise, you're going to be screaming at me. What is the core of Ron's new wand?
Damn it.
Sarah.
It is one unicorn hair.
That is correct.
Thank you. Also, there goes one of my questions. But I literally every single piece of information from this book now at this point, like I feel like my Harry Potter reading has become, if I see something that seems like a statistic, I am memorizing that. And when I was like, there is something about Ron and his new wand, and I am memorizing that. Okay.
All right. My turn?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to ask this. Professor Trelawney's prediction says the servant will break free at what time?
Ding.
Yes.
Tonight?
No. I mean, technically, I guess that's right, but no.
I thought it said just tonight.
At dawn?
No, midnight.
Oh.
I guess you both are technically right. No, not.
No, my Dawn is not right. Tonight, I guess. Tonight, I guess, could be midnight, but that seems.
Midnight was my second guess. Can I get it? I'll just take a half. I'll just grab a half point for that. Is that
no.
Cool? All right. Well,
we can't be sure that he didn't. No.
This is this is another week in the bag. It is Michael with 11. Uh-oh.
0 points. Got it.
Sarah catching up with 9. What? And Vijaya is not too far behind with 7. I almost want Sarah to win just so that I can not send the cut back to her when she finally sends it to me.
Okay, why don't you want me to win?
Oh, first of all, I'm Michael.
You sent it to me weeks ago, right?
I sent it to you weeks ago, so I don't know why you're still going on about it. I'm paying for the shipping with our wonderful Kickstarter money because it doesn't fit in a flat rate box because somebody already looked up the dimensions of the flat rate box.
Chapter 12, The Patronus. Okay, so Harry is like super bummed because he thinks that he's never going to see his firebolt again. Because he just got the sweet firebolt, as we know. And it was taken away because Hermione's like, somebody probably cursed it and it's going to kill you.
She's a rat.
Yeah, he doesn't have any more. So like, thanks,
snitches
Obama.
Get stitches.
Yeah. Ron also is furious because he's like, this is a fireball. And apparently no one owns a fireball. It's like the Stradivarius of broomsticks. Anyway, so because of this and because Ron and Harry are both being real jerks, Hermione starts avoiding the common room completely. So she doesn't get treated horribly by these two jerks. It's still winter break. Everyone returns to school. The day before the new term begins, Oliver Wood, Quidditch captain for Gryffindor, comes to Harry and talks to him about the Dementors. And he's like, hey, you know what? Like, obviously you're our best player, youngest seeker in a century, all that stuff. But if you keep feigning and dying and whatever, we can't really have you on there because, you know, the dying. And Harry's like, no worries. I am taking lessons with Lupin. So we are going to kick this Dementor problem. And so he's like, okay, that's good. You get a new broom because a shooting star sucks, apparently, because that's the broom he's currently using. And Harry's like, well, and Ron, of course, interrupts and tells Oliver that Harry got the sweet fireball, but he doesn't have it anymore. And Oliver is angry, and Ron is angry all over again. And so they're kind of just in a holding pattern waiting for this fireball. Meanwhile, the term starts. You know, Harry goes to divination. Trelawney says that he has the shortest lifeline she's ever seen. But he's really, excited about going to Defense Against the Dark Arts because Lupin is the best. And he knows that he's going to start, like, kicking butt with the Dementors. So, and, you know, he's getting super into it.
And he's a daredevil, you know? He knows that he has a short lifespan, but he's just like...
Right? He's like, my lifeline is so short. I just do what I want. YOLO. Like, he's just pushing it. He is just living every day like it's his mother effing last. Anyway.
Also, he's not really YOLO in a long time. Not, so thank you for that.
He's not really because clearly, sneaking into Hogsmeade isn't really, you know, really sticking to the man that much. But anyway. So, you know, they get to Defense Against the Dark Arts because he's really excited. But there's really something wrong with Lupin. He looks really tired. He's not as excited. He's excited, obviously, to see Harry, but he's just not very enthusiastic.
And he's hungover.
Yeah, he is so hungover. He got so wasted the night before.
I have a thing. Maybe Trelawney was saying Harry has a short lifespan because... Trelawney and Lupin were drinking, and she didn't want them to go to Lupin's class and, you know, like, aggravate his hangover.
Oh, my God. Why were they drinking? Oh, they probably got drunk on sherry together. Spoiler alert for drunken sherriness for the next book? I don't remember.
Several books.
Fifth book?
I think so.
I think it's the fifth book.
I think it's five.
Yeah.
Anyway, they got drunk on sherry. Sure. They're watching The Bachelor, and now Trelawney's trying to get them not to go to Defense Against the Dark Arts. Totally makes sense, Vijaya. Yeah. I get it.
Blew it apart.
But, obviously our theory is correct, but Hermione has her own theory. And she's like, guys, it's obvious. And Ron and Harry are like, it's not obvious. Tell us. And she says, no, I would tell y'all, but you're being weenies, so nah.
She's such a know-it-all.
So she walks away.
So bossy.
Anyway, so they have the class. And later, after class, Harry starts his super top-secret lessons with Lupin. Lupin does is he finds a Boggart. He finds it near Filch's filing cabinet, which is the only Boggart he has found recently. And it's the closest they're going to get to a Dementor, because you can't really capture a real Dementor and use them for lessons. But
I can just imagine him going up to be like, excuse me, Mr. Dementor, can I have your assistance for a class?
Or he'd go up to a Dementor and he'd like tap it on the shoulder and he'd be like, look, look. And the Dementor would look one way and then he would like put a bag over its head. just real, real smooth like. Anyway, so he knows that the Dementor or the Boggart is going to turn into a Dementor because that's what Harry fears most. So the lesson begins, these private lessons, and Lupin is going to teach Harry a super advanced piece of magic, and that is the Patronus Charm. The Patronus Charm conjures up sort of an anti-Dementor guardian, and this guardian acts as a shield between the caster of the spell and the Dementor. Lupin explains to Harry that it's a positive force. Essentially, a Patronus Charm is the projection of hope and happiness, and that's what Dementors feed on, is hope and happiness. But unlike humans, who have fear and sadness and can get really depressed, this Patronus Charm is just literally pure happiness and hope and doesn't experience that. So it can fight the Dementor just fine. The Dementor basically feeds on that while you, yeah, I don't know, go grocery shopping or whatever you'd have to do. Well, you're fighting off a Dementor. But to each wizard, whatever your Dementor...
So wait, how far... Because you're going real deep into Patronuses here.
And sorry. I will not go any deeper. This is just what Lupin explains to Harry. I have one slightly more detailed fact about them. This is all what Lupin is telling to Harry. Mm-hmm. And you know, each one's unique, blah 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 blah. And in order to summon this Patronus, you have to use the incantation Expecto Patronum, and you have to think happy thoughts, just like you would if you wanted to fly in Neverland. So Harry is like, okay, I totally got this. I'm going to think about the first time I rode a broomstick, that sort of awesome, weightless feeling. So he goes and he tries to cast his charm, and something silvery whooshes out of his wand. It's very awkward and kind of uncomfortable to read, but it doesn't do anything, and he, you know, the Dementor is let out, well, the Boggart Dementor, that is let out. Harry can't really cast that spell. He passes out. When he passes out, it's not good. He hears his mom pleading with Voldemort again. It's worse than it's been before. He wakes up, Lupin gives him a chocolate frog, and is like, no sweat, we can try this again, but we can also quit. And Harry's like, I ain't gonna quit. So they let the Boggart out again and turns into a Dementor. This time, Harry passes out again, but instead of just hearing his mom, he hears his dad for the first time. Jeez. And he wakes up. Yeah, he wakes up and he tells Lupin that he's like crying and he doesn't really want Lupin to see, which is a comment on masculinity and boys not being able to cry, which is horrible. But that said, he's like, I heard my dad for the first time. He finds out that James Potter tried to take on Voldemort all by himself so that his mom could have a chance to save baby Harry. Aww. And obviously is killed. And Lupin is really moved by this, kind of stunned, and asks Harry, you heard James? Specifically using the name James. And Harry says, yeah, I heard him. And then realizes what's happened, that Lupin has actually said his father's name. He says, you knew my dad? And Lupin begrudgingly admits that they were friends in school and they vaguely knew each other. Harry strangely makes the logical conclusion that he therefore knows Sirius Black. Like, Harry can't
connect. He puts two and two together?
Literally, he cannot, as we've said, she can't put two and two together. Harry cannot connect a dot if it were a numbered coloring book, you know what I mean? But for some reason, he's like, oh, wait a second. My dad knew Sirius Black. Lupin knows Sirius Black. Lupin knows my dad. Lupin knows Sirius Black. He makes this jump, and Lupin's like, yeah, I knew him. I thought I knew him.
I literally feel like we should open champagne bottles right now. I mean, like, Harry, put two and two together.
And guess what? It gets him nowhere, because Lupin is just like, God, you think he, right? Like, if we could do this, like, if we took a shot every time he actually connected a dot, I would be the most sober person in the entire world.
I have a question. Remind me about this later.
Okay, I will. He tries again, but this time he's like, you know what? I realize I'm not thinking the happiest thought. Flying's great, but even happier was the moment that I found out I was a wizard and I was going to be leaving the Dursleys forever. So he tries that. The Dementor comes out. And it actually, Harry actually kind of does a little spark of damage. It doesn't stop him completely. The spell doesn't take any sort of form other than some sort of vague shield-ish sort of thing. So it's not obviously perfect, but it's definitely a better memory, and it worked a lot better. And Lupin tells him he's done for the day, hands him a huge block of chocolate, and he goes on his way. And Harry, you know, realizes too that he kind of, in a weird way, wants the Dementor to attack him again, because this is the only time he has ever heard his parents' voice. And he also acknowledges that he has to kind of get rid of that attitude, and that this isn't how he wants to know his parents or hear his parents, because if he feels like he wants to hear their voices, he won't ever fully be able to produce the Patronus charm, because he kind of wants the Dementor to attack him. So he's working through that. It's very complicated. He could really use a psychologist at this point, I think. but all he has is Dumbledore, and Dumbledore is not that great at this stuff, and kind of is problematic in that sense. So he has to process this himself. Anyway, Slytherin and Ravenclaw have a Quidditch game. Mm-hmm. Ravenclaw wins. That means that Gryffindor has to play them.
Man.
Right?
They still have a chance.
They still have a chance.
They're
at the
House Cup. In this game.
Oliver Wood so wants that trophy. He has not gotten the Quidditch. He's not Quidditch. We do this all the time. I can't do it. He has not gotten the Quidditch Cup yet. He wants it before he leaves school. And Harry still hasn't gotten his broomstick back. So everyone's kind of egging him. Well, not egging him. They're kind of pushing him to get another broomstick, because he cannot have that shooting star when he takes the pitch, because he's not going to win. It doesn't matter how good the seeker is. He's too slow. Which kind of seems like a dis... Right. But it also, like, he has a lot of money. It's not like he can't do it. But that's also kind of weird that would prohibit you so much from doing a sport. But I guess if, like, you're a skier and all you have is, like, 1980s downhill skis, that's going to be different from, like, nice new aerodynamic skis. But it still is kind of crappy that he's that far... He's that far. I mean,
maybe
off.
keep backup brooms that are like kind of competitive, like not star shoot, but like maybe clean sweeps, like the latest version of clean sweeps.
Right. What do you do for kids who can't afford that and have talent? That seems not great. But I guess, you know, music programs in this country are being defunded, and kids can't play violins either.
And yeah, it is a very free school, and they get very good meals for it being.
This is true. It is a very free school, and they get very free treacle tart.
Yeah. And turkey legs.
So you know, Ron and Oliver Wood are kind of pressuring Harry. They're like, hey, you know what? You could even just get a Nimbus 2001. That's what Malfoy has. And Harry's like, oh, hell no, I ain't getting the shit that Malfoy has. I don't want that.
Maybe let that shit go, Harry. You need a fucking broom.
Right? Like just Nimbus because Malfoy has it doesn't mean, just because he has it doesn't mean it sucks. Like I don't want to be Kim Kardashian, but you know what? She like, Her makeup is on point. I can't help it. I'm going to get that.
I was going to say, it's not like Nimbus 2001 came out and said, we only fucking serve pure bloods.
Right?
It's not Nimbus 2001's fault that the Slytherins all got the brooms bought for them.
It's a very strange response. And I think also he could really use a psychologist at this point. Anyway, so while all this is happening, Ron is getting real suspicious of Hermione because she is going to classes that she should not be able to be going to. You know, she's going to Muggle Studies classes, which I want to talk about in just a second. But she's going to these Muggle Studies classes when they're in like charms or something else. Basically, she doesn't miss a single class because he has asked Seamus, and Seamus says she has not missed a class. This is a class at the same time as another class that she hasn't missed anything of. It's impossible. And Ron is just boggled, and Harry doesn't give a shit. So that's where that stops, because Harry decides what they think about, I guess. Eventually, you know, he's been going through all these classes or these private, you know, tutoring sessions sort of with Lupin. And he gets his fireball back, and he's been asking McGonagall for like weeks and weeks. He's been asking her. He asked her, I think on the 12th time he asked her, he didn't even get the question out. She's like, we don't have it yet. We think there might be like a hurling charm, which I don't know. I think it was a hurling charm, which I don't know, makes you play an Irish sport or something like that. But they keep testing it for all this stuff. And like, couldn't you just like test it for like, I don't know, in Dungeons & Dragons, you can like try and test something to see if it has magic beyond what it's supposed to have. Like, couldn't they just have been like, oh, it has something that we shouldn't see it having. And they would have been able to establish that really quickly, but it took them forever. Anyway,
I also like thinking about Harry going up to McGonagall, wherever she is, like pops up and goes, can I have it back? Can I have it back?
she's like at the gym, like on the treadmill, and he like just like comes up in front of her and is like, can I have it? And she just falls.
Can I have it?
Anyway, so he gets it back, and it's no worse for the wear, which is great. It's perfect. And McGonagall's like, you have some, give some friend, Potter. And so, you know, he's very excited because he has some brand. Are you serious? He says. And she says, yes, I am serious, which cannot be a coincidence. I am sorry.
I bet behind the scenes, McGonagall is like, we have to get this done before. Like, either Oliver has to get this broom back, or he has to have time enough to get another room before the match.
Well, because she got him his Nimbus 2000. So she's like, she's totally. And actually, I didn't mention this because it wasn't super pertinent. But, you know, Oliver Wood basically went to McGonagall and was like, we need this. And she's like, it's more important that we make sure that Harry doesn't die. He's like, yeah, but we need this. And like, if he catches the snitch, it's fine if he falls off. And she apparently was really offended that he said that. He doesn't know what was so bad about it, because, you know, like, he doesn't want him to die. Just like, if it gets knocked off, so what? You know, as long as he catches a snitch. So in all of this excitement, he brings the fireball back to the Gryffindor common room. Everyone is celebrating because they're definitely going to win their Quidditch match.
Quidditch.
They're going to win Quizzitch too, because Quizzitch, let's face it, Hermione's again brilliant. And they go up to the, all of a sudden, you know, Ron is running up to his room in Gryffindor Tower, and there's like shouting, there's screaming, something is wrong. And Ron comes down, and he, you know, there's blood on like blankets, and he's like, Hermione, how could you? Blah, blah, blah. And he's like screaming at Hermione.
All over my bed sheet?
Why wouldn't you just use a tampon? And inappropriate. This is Vagia started. But essentially they see that there are ginger cat hairs all over.
Seems
that Crookshanks has attacked Scabbers. And it is not terrible. A good scene. And that's the end of the chapter.
Mm.
Oh my gosh. A somber end of the chapter.
Yeah.
Now, I know you guys think Hermione can never ever do any wrong whatsoever, and that she's perfect in every way.
Let me explain this thing for us.
but she's pretty reckless with that cat of hers.
Like, by letting it be a cat.
Yeah.
She like brings it into the room and like throws it on the ground and just like, you know, and like Ron has his, the cat's gonna eat the rat.
But also, like, it's a cat. Like if he's worried about.
But she brings it into his room with his pet.
She didn't bring it. The Crookshank snuck in.
She has though. Snook. Multiple times. At least but also, once on Christmas.
If you know when people sneak into zoos and then the lion ends up killing the person, I bet Michael defends the person and not the lion.
Yeah, Michael. Come on.
I bet Michael defends the parents and not Harambee.
What? Yeah, she's bringing that Harambee in here.
R.I.P. Harambee.
R.I.P. Harambee.
Justice. I'm just saying Harambee. She wasn't very.
Michael hates Harambee 2016. Hashtag 2016, but not 2017.
Hashtag justice for Crookshanks.
She should have kept a better eye on Crookshanks. That's all I'm saying.
Just but
okay, but he has a rat. Like if he had put his rat in a cage. Would Crookshanks have gotten to it?
But, like, how irresponsible of a rat owner is he? You can't just leave a rat running around. You can't train it like a dog.
It was in his room.
Yeah, but it wasn't in a cage.
Yeah, do you not know rats can, like, run away, like, into the ceilings and fucking...
There aren't no cages in Hogwarts.
Yeah, there are.
Except for owl cages.
You know what could probably keep a rat? An owl cage.
Is Trevor ever going in a frog cage?
He should. That's why Neville keeps losing him.
Lesson learned.
Maybe Hogwarts should have a animal care 101 lesson.
God. Yeah, because clearly care of magical creatures ain't doing crap.
But I was going to say, I'm sure there are like other people that have rats in the Gryffindor Tower even. And they never talk about Crookshanks going after any of those rats. I'm just saying.
That's true. I just feel like you can't blame the cat. If they're letting cats, I think, okay, so here's the thing. They let cats, owls, I guess toads, and rats in. Owls also eat rats and mice. Like, if you have one of those lower creatures, I feel like you
should take... probably
toads. You should take the precaution. I'm not saying it's a good thing, but it's nature, and you should take the precaution and, you know, get a cage. I don't know, bring your rat with you someplace, you know? Pay for a babysitter. I don't know. I would babysit your rat at Hogwarts for 15 bucks an hour. A couple
galleons
an hour.
You guys just love the Hilmione. I'm combining Hillary and Hermione. See, I'm combining them.
I'm with Crookshanks.
Hashtag. I'm with Crookshanks.
Crook, that's right. Crook.
Oh my God.
Hilmione.
Hilmione. Let's march against Michael, Sarah. Let's march against.
I'm marching against him in place right
Please
now.
Please do not send any letters.
But I'm just saying. It's the natural order.
I voted for Hillary Clinton. I'm registered Democrat.
Every time we tease Michael, like somebody's like, they're so mean to Michael, or Michael's like, it never goes well for Michael. It's always like, it either goes really well, like the girls are so mean to Michael, or like Michael's a misogynist, and it's neither of those things.
Remember, but the most important issue of all is, you know, remember when Michael made fun of Kentucky and it was the worst?
Yeah, Michael hates Kentucky people.
I said they were all, everyone in Kentucky was illiterate.
Including Bajaya.
And I was, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say it. I was joking. I know that people in Kentucky can read.
If
Bajaya's law degree is written in crayon.
Just kidding. It's not written.
Because you're illiterate. You can't even write crayon. It's a picture.
I'm just going to go on the records and say that I love the Commonwealth. It is the Commonwealth of Kentucky. And
oh,
I
just like Massachusetts.
I would not be on a podcast with other people that hated Kentucky.
But also, by the way, Michael, it cannot be one to throw stones because he is from New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, come on. New Jersey is like the worst of the worst,
Let's be real, guys.
I mean, our education system in New Jersey is very, very good. But,
ours is 49 to 50. So, you know, like, meet me where I am. The lows. I wish we're not last. I think that's Alabama or Mississippi. So,
yeah, it's one of those places. Something.
But, okay, guys.
I held a convention in Louisville, Kentucky. So,
guys, Louisville is pronounced
it right. Louisville.
Louisville was great. I loved it.
Sarah's better.
Let's
talk about questions.
I want to talk about questions, guys. We had a couple new things. Yes, and I'll remind you of that in a second. One was the Patronus. And, you know, I think Michael's going to help, you know, enlighten us on that one. And actually, that's kind of really the only new thing that I said. We had a couple new things, but we didn't. Although my favorite thing in this chapter that I did not mention was that during their lessons, Lupin is really excited and happy for Harry. And is like, congratulations, I'm going to give you something that you've never had before because it's from Hogsmeade. And he pulls out this like butterbeer and Harry's like, oh, butterbeer. And I'm like, dude, when you turn 21 and your parents made you a beer, you're like, my first beer. This is amazing. Like, and Lupin looks at him all curious. So first time butterbeer, guys. Wink, wink.
Oh my gosh. We've never heard of this before.
It's so good. This is my first sip of butterbeer. Patronuses are really the only thing in this chapter. So
I remember the question I was gonna ask.
Yeah.
So you know how I don't think we talked about this before, but he has that album that has wedding pictures from his parents' wedding that has Sirius Black in it. I imagine that Lupin was there too.
You would think.
Lupin was totally there.
Unless Hagrid was like, bridegroom, best man, who the fuck cares about Lupin and Peter? Just threw that shit away.
Also,
I mean, it could have just been a picture of him and the best man, right? There's just, I don't know. Whatever.
Okay, but also, another thing that kind of bothers me.
But he was, I don't think Lupin was in the Order of Phoenix until the second war. I don't think he was in it in the first.
No, he was. Only. He was in the first. He was in the Order of Phoenix in the first war. Yep.
Then there
if
was.
If you listen to our Remus Lupin section from the last chapter.
Okay.
He was in Order of Phoenix both times.
Because then he should have seen Remus's picture, unless he like looked at it before Remus came to Hogwarts and like had forgotten about the picture.
Or maybe he just like, maybe him being, you know, all those years of having having lost all of his friends and living, you know, hand to mouth and being depressed. He looks so different. Maybe he lost lots of weight and was really gone and, you know, was vitamin D deprived and had rickets.
You're right.
I don't know.
You're right. That could be. I mean, he looked like way older. You're right.
Who knows?
Or maybe Harry was just like, oh, I looked at this picture and
Maybe Hagrid didn't have that many pictures in there. And like,
no, I remember him showing the picture, the album having picture of the Order of the Phoenix and them being like, here, move along.
You know, they were all in it.
This, I mean, again, this is Harry. Lupin is probably standing like right next to Sirius, and Harry just like didn't figure it out.
Or maybe he looked really young.
So, and then part of my problem is, and I know I talked about this when we were talking about Remus's backstory, and he really regretted not saying something about Sirius when Sirius, you know, because obviously Sirius broke into Hogwarts and tore up that portrait and all that stuff, and he didn't say, hey, he could possibly have gotten in because he's, you know, can turn into a dog. But again, here comes up again where Harry's like, did you know Sirius Black? And he's like, I thought I knew him. So clearly he thinks he's, or at least suspicious that Sirius actually has done what the papers have claimed he's done. And he doesn't, I don't know, he doesn't give Harry any sort of warning or say like, hey, be careful about dogs. You never know when they're going to be rabid. Or, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's very irresponsible for Harry to ask about that and him to not give any sort of like you really shouldn't go anywhere. You really should be very careful. I knew Sirius. He was a great guy, but for some reason, something is wrong. Blah, 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 blah. You know, I don't know. It just feels like a weird thing for an adult to not warn a kid about.
I still think that he is still carrying, like what I said, I think last time, he is still carrying a little bit of guilt, get a little bit of that guilt that his friends turn into anime guy on his accord or for him, and he let that happen because Lupin is so like rule bound and rule centric that I think he doesn't even tell Dumbledore that because he is like still ashamed that he let that happen. Like hindsight is 20/20. He knows that he shouldn't have let them do that. And he just can't get over the fact, which, as like irresponsible as that is,
right,
like something that still is in his conscience. That, yeah,
yeah. Anyway, excellent.
That was it. Sorry.
Great.
Awesome.
Sorry.
Awesome.
What are you sorry about?
It was a long. I felt like it was a very long chapter, and
it was.
I felt like I placed a lot of blame on people.
That's a good chapter.
Very nice.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Very nice.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, Majaya.
I heard that you know a lot of Patronuses. Do you want to tell us some stuff about them?
Wait, he knows a lot of Patronuses?
I do know a lot of them.
A lot about Patronuses.
Both.
Patronusi.
Okay.
So I didn't have anything to do tonight on our recording, so I got to research Patronuses. Thank you for giving me a pity segment. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
This is very important, Michael. This is our defense against depression.
Yes, and it's very important. So as Sarah said just a few minutes ago, a Patronus is like a silvery animal thing that is all good and nice and stuff and protects you from Dementors. And it's pretty much the only thing that can protect you from a Dementor. It's the only spell that works against them.
You can't punch them in the face?
You cannot punch. Don't even try. Do they even have faces?
I didn't get into this, but actually, Harry asks, he asks Lupin if they have faces or what's underneath their cloak. And Lupin's like, only people who have their soul about to be sucked out know it's a horrible fate. So there you
Yikes.
Go.
Yikes.
We don't know. But that seems kind of weird because I feel like somebody must have survived that, but apparently not.
Apparently. So it's a very difficult spell to cast. Even qualified wizards have a hard time with it. Like most people can't cast a Patronus, or a corporeal one anyway. And you know, if you can cast a Patronus, it's generally considered to be the mark of a superior magical ability.
Ooh.
So like back in like olden times, like people who could make a Patronus would get like elected to be officials and stuff like that. And Harry is one of the youngest ever to produce a corporeal Patronus.
Of course he is. He needed thing to stroke his stupid ego.
Uh-huh.
I wonder if they like what kind of data bank that they keep with that for that.
Well, I think it's just JK's head.
Well, obviously. I meant, yeah, you know what I meant.
I keep saying corporeal. So what does that mean? There are two forms. Basically, you can either make a non-corporeal Patronus, which is like thin wisps of silver that is kind of helpful and decent, but will not really do much against, you know, a bunch of Dementors. Or you can have the corporeal one, which is it's like an actual body. It's an actual animal. Yeah. Isn't that exciting? It's so exciting. Each Patronus is unique to the witch or wizard, and sometimes they can change throughout their lives, depending on if they fall in love or have some, you know, terrible thing happen to them, all sorts of things.
Oh, man. You know what we should do is do a segment about what kind of Patronus people would have. But keep going.
We should. That would be a good one. That would be a great one. So there's a widespread belief that a wizard who is not pure of heart cannot produce a Patronus.
Oh,
which,
man.
The most famous example is the spell backfiring on the good old dark wizard Rakzidian.
Oh,
who was old, then
sounds like a
bad good old
wizard.
Racky Z. Yeah. Racky Z just couldn't pull up that Patronus.
He was devoured by maggots.
Holy shit! What?
Wait, do Dementors prevent against maggots? Or Dementors? Do Patronuses prevent against maggots?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
That left turn that I did not expect.
That was completely unexpected.
Yeah. But so this, it's you know, there are some cases where we're like not very very not nice, witches and or wizards can produce a Patronus, including Dolores Umbridge. Who can make a cat Patronus, and it's basically like you have to be able to like have like the happiness in you, and so essentially she thinks she's so right that it gives her the ability to produce one,
right? She's, like, you know, she thinks she has happiness even if it's not genuine happiness, and that's enough,
right? There was a 18th century researcher of charms named Professor Catullus Spengel.
Aww.
And he did a lot of research on Patronuses, and a lot of people, you know, think that he was right about them. Essentially, it is it's the awakened secret self that lies dormant in you until it's needed. Aww. And
that's really deep.
Yeah, and most of the time, almost all the time, it's not your favorite animal. So, like, Bajaya would not produce a dog. Sorry, Bajaya.
False, because my favorite animal is a wolf. You are wrong, sir.
Okay, so I'm wrong. but in some cases, people can, and usually it's like an indicator of some sort of, like, obsession and eccentricity. And
so this is when like the dog Patronus would come out, because that's my obsession.
I was gonna say, Bajaya is actually gonna be a dog, apparently.
Right. And it's like, you know, you don't have a secret. It's essentially like you don't have a secret self. Like
mine is just like a Tumblr feed.
So they're usually typically it's an animal from like where you are, like from around you, like your own country. And the most common ones are dogs, cats, and horses.
Mm-hmm.
Michael's is a dragonfly.
I was gonna say, are we gonna talk about what part of Pottermore is?
How dare you?
There are dragonflies in Muggle's part of the world.
Let's just wait till we get to the Patronus.
I want to retake that test.
You can't.
Weirdly,
don't you dare.
You can't. No, I tried. You can't.
But can I tell you something, Michael? If I were a Dementor, I freaking hate dragonflies. I love fireflies. Dragonflies scare the crap out of me. They're gross and weird.
You don't like moths or dragonflies?
I'd be out of there if I were a Dementor.
You have to make a new Pottermore profile to take up.
They're flying. They all could fly into my hair at any point.
Can't I just have some sort of horrible upheaval in my life that scars me forever and lets my Patronus change, please?
Does that happen?
Yeah, that's like if you have something Tom's really bad happen to you. Her. Yeah.
Well, that's true. But I thought that was a conscious decision.
No. Mm.
So dogs, cats, and horses are the most common. Weirdly, owls are very unusual. Even the wizards are witches have those all the time.
Weird.
You don't see a lot of owl Patronuses.
Is there anybody in the books that has an owl?
No, not that we see.
Okay.
Even more uncommon than owls, though, are magical creatures such as dragons, thestrals, and phoenixes. Which we'll come back around to phoenixes in a minute. And identical twins often will have very different Patronuses. And you know, you shouldn't feel bad about your terrible, terrible Patronus like a dragonfly. Because one of the most famous Patronuses of all time was a lowly mouse, which belonged to a legendary young wizard named Ilias, who used it to hold off an attack from an army of Dementors single-handed.
And clearly we all remember Ilias.
Yeah, but the dragonfly is smaller than a mouse, though.
Mouses are cuter, though, so I'd be more afraid of a dragonfly. Mice.
It can fly.
I'm going to say mouses. I can do it.
I don't know.
Yeah, mouses cannot fly.
Dragonflies are really pretty. My dog is going crazy right now.
Have you seen a dragonfly up close, Bijaya?
Okay, I want to ask you this question. You don't like dragonflies, and you don't like moths. Have you ever been around stink bugs when they're flying?
Yes, I have. I don't like it.
It's kind of more terrifying, but it's not terrible. I always catch them and release them.
Have you ever been around a flying cockroach? That is the worst.
I grew up in the middle of Kathmandu, which is the capital city of Nepal, and we had flying cockroaches.
I don't like them.
But anyway.
Let's stop talking about disgusting bugs. The other thing, I guess, that we didn't really... And they didn't really talk about this weird sort of side effect of Patronuses.
There's a side effect?
Well, not a side effect, but you can use them to communicate... Which is kind of random.
It doesn't come up.
Wait. Like you can be like, hey, see you at brunch in 20.
Yeah, many times. In several instances, later on in the books, you remember. People send messages to each other via Patronus.
Kingsley Shacklebolt sent a message about the Ministry of Magic having fallen.
Yeah, that's right. And Arthur Weasley sends one.
Running late. Could you pause the bachelor for me?
They don't have cell phones, right? They have to do something.
Crazier.
They don't have text messages.
Even crazier. McGonagall, who is Patronus, is a cat with weird spectral markings.
Yeah.
She sends three of them at once.
What?
To send messages to people.
What do you mean? Oh, three cats at once?
Yes, she makes three Patronuses at one time to send messages.
I guess she could just be
badass.
Expect a Patronum three times, and she's McGonagall though. She's on a different level.
She's pretty awesome.
There's no other side effects like headaches or nausea or
no. I just meant nothing like that. So some famous Patronuses. Harry Potter obviously is a stag, like his dad.
Spoiler alert, Michael. Yeah.
Just like his dad, who's also a stag.
He's only gotten blobs to this point.
Well, sorry. I'm sorry I spoiled the books for everybody.
Oh, man.
So funny, when he casts later, let me spoil again. He casts his first Patronus, at first he thinks it looks like a horse. And, his future, double spoiler, his future wife, Ginny Weasley, her Patronus is a horse.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Lily Potter was a doe. Dumbledore. Dumbledore.
Stag.
Dumbledore, he's breaking all the rules. He is a phoenix, which is clearly his favorite, and it's a magical creature. So... He must have chosen just to be like, I want a phoenix, and he's so powerful that he can make a phoenix.
Yeah.
Remus Lupin is a wolf, but it's often disguised because he doesn't want it to be.
We talked about that.
Yeah.
Right.
But you also mentioned Tonks, who we're going to talk about Tonks, I think, more in the future, but I did not mention that her Patronus does change to that of a wolf. And I thought it was more of an act of solidarity rather than a traumatic event.
No, I
think it's a traumatic, because even we discussed this last time, or maybe the time before, about how Snape comments that her Patronus has changed and it's for the worst.
Right now it looks weaker.
Right, yeah. But I thought that he was just being... I thought that she chose to... she chose to do that to, show her husband that she wasn't ashamed of it and that Snape was just being a dick like he always is.
I mean, I guess, yeah, that's one interpretation. I just thought that it was because she went through a traumatic event.
I guess the reason I thought that was because Lupin chose to... He purposely chose to have a formless... Patronus to hide the fact that his is a wolf. So mm-hmm. I thought that she like decided that she was going to work on changing hers so that she right. could There's... she could
it
she
didn't
could
sound like
stand, show their husband that it wasn't shameful.
It wasn't There's like a... she changed like she worked on changing it though.
Right. There's a note on Pottermore there's a note on Pottermore that says essentially, you know, falling in love is a thing that could make your Patronus change, and that's what happened to Tonks essentially.
But yeah. I guess why would it make her Patronus weaker though, if like you fall in love? Like,
I think Snape was being a dick.
So he was being a dick. He was saying it was basically worse.
So I was still right about the being a dick part. Okay.
Can you guess what her original Patronus was? Something obviously way tougher than a wolf.
A dinosaur.
It was a jackrabbit.
I almost said a rabbit! Oh my god! Damn it.
Is this a quiz question?
Does this mean if I had said rabbit, I would have won the whole quiz?
Maybe next year. Next season. How is a jackrabbit... Like, how is a wolf weaker than a jackrabbit? I mean, doesn't make sense.
So wait. Are we saying that the Tonks's was a jackrabbit before?
It was a jackrabbit, yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, okay. jackrabbits are really, really
Hermione's, isn't Hermione's also a rabbit?
No, she's an otter.
Luna has the hair. Luna has the hair.
Yeah.
Luna is a hare.
You're thinking about
I'm thinking about Luna. She has a hare. Rod has a Jack Russell.
I was
thinking of Luna, who has a hare, who has another bunny.
Okay, you guys are spoiling my whole list.
Sorry, I keep
saying the names of things.
I was just thinking about Tonks's jackrabbit being stronger because, I mean, that was hers in the beginning. Like, that was hers individually. And they are pretty fast. But then, like, love changing it, I mean, that's a traumatic event that happens to you, I guess, like her heartbreak, I guess that's what I think would trigger the wolf transition, and maybe that's why it was weaker. Does that make sense?
I think he was just being a dick.
For sure.
So speaking of Severus, his is a doe.
Which is
the same as Lily's, and like Lily's is like Lily's is a doe, which, you know, it would couples with a stag, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, did Lily's change to become a doe to go with the stag?
Maybe.
Because clearly he was a stag first.
God,
it sounds really patriarchal.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they're just two does, you know, just chilling, going to get their mani-pedis, being BFFs.
If mine was like a dog, like I don't know what kind of dog, any kind of dog today, and after when we got married, if it changed to whatever the fuck Josh's Patronus, would I be fucking really pissed off? Like, what the heck?
I don't think yours changed. I really don't think yours changed. I think
It was a doe from the very beginning.
Oh, you think it was just a doe? Like, she was meant to be.
I don't think there's anything wrong with being
maybe
a
it
doe.
Wasn't. Maybe it no, wasn't nothing. Like a. Maybe it wasn't a meant to be thing. Maybe it was just a doe from the beginning, and it stayed a doe.
But maybe that's like a sign that like just like that's just. I don't know. Maybe their personalities jived. I don't know. I think it's JK trying to be kind of cutesy. I think that the Snape thing is. I'm not a Snape fan, so I can't really.
Because he loved her.
Yeah, I can't really comment. I can't really comment without being snarky on that.
So there's a few more Patronuses that we know about. Aberforth Dumbledore.
Is a goat?
He's a goat. Kingsley, as we said, is a lynx. Arthur Weasley's is a weasel. Yeah. Cho Chang is a swan.
Yep. Really?
Seamus Finnegan is a fox.
I was going to say a leprechaun. That was not very nice of me.
And Ernie McMillan's is a boar.
Huh. Do we know Dean Thomas's? Why don't we know Dean Thomas?
Dean Thomas's
should have been the fox, man.
Am I right?
Ow, right? Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe he can't cast one.
You shut your mouth.
Most people can't cast one.
I don't believe that Dean Thomas can't cast one. I think I think his is probably like a line.
I'm looking it up right now. Man,
Ginny kicked his ass to the curb.
She did, and maybe it was a mistake.
He is hot as heck. He will get someone different.
Oh. Right. That's all I got. Patronuses.
I'm trying to find his Patronus. Hold on. What year it's, did
Dean Thomas's?
He had one, maybe.
Oh, I'm gonna.
Maybe
I'm gonna
it was not very specified.
Strongly worded letter.
Maybe it wasn't specified.
It wasn't in the book, at least. These are all ones that are actually.
But
in
he
the
was
book.
In, he was yeah. in, he was in Dumbledore's army though, wasn't he?
He was, but doesn't
yeah,
mean
but
he
they
cast
didn't they didn't go through every one's patron like because there were like 50 or 40 or 30 people in.
I just
GA.
Have a hard time believing that he.
Can you please rewind the tape to where I say majority of witches and wizards are unable to produce a Patronus?
Well, she sounds like every
Dean
single
Thomas
person can.
Most people can't.
But I feel like Dean Thomas is an exception. He's exceptional, Michael.
Because he's exceptionally hot in real life.
Yes.
Come on. All right. Well, the thank actor. You for that. A good segment about Patronus.
Wait, we didn't talk about how Patronus Michael's had. Patronus from Pottermore was a dragonfly.
We will.
We talked about it a lot.
We'll talk about it during our segment about Patronus to come in a future episode.
Oh, teaser! A little teaser for you.
Yeah. Well,
thanks,
thank
Michael.
You, Michael, for the
yeah,
Patronus.
Whatever.
We'll know a lot more about Patronus to make fun of you more when we talk about your Patronus.
Expector
Patronum. I hope you
Patronum.
Get devoured by maggots.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
did you just try Razzy Z? What's that guy's name? Razzle Z?
Rackzidian.
Rackzidian. Yeah, Racky Z. You just Racky Z'd her.
Thank you for joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Want to help out? Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Want to get in touch? Email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com or follow us on Twitter at potterpod or geeklyinc. And individually, you can find me at ThriftyNerd.
I'm Bajaya Shrestha, and you can find me on Twitter at EthnicNinja.
I am Sarah Tompkins, and you should hit me up at HerLadyTompkins.
Editing help this week by Alan Matthews. Our podcast art is created by Jesse Carlton. You can find more of his work at J! On Instagram. And our music is created by Sean Fagan. Find more of his music at soundcloud.com/sleepyfish.